When we have a Holy Ghost Spirit or a Holy Spirit move of God, the services are going to be different.
Amen.
I'll get around to finishing the prayer series eventually. But when the Spirit of God moves like this, I feel compelled to teach you, and I'm not going to go a long time because I want the Spirit of God to be able to manifest and demonstrate what we're teaching.
Amen.
Now, we begin last week, and I'll go back just a couple things here to remind you. Go to Acts chapter 13. I don't think we got much further than that last week. I'm glad you young people are here. Some of you, you know, we've made a transition where young people, we're not eliminating a service. You're going to have your service on Friday nights. And so encourage the other youth. They need to be in this atmosphere on Wednesday. You guys need pastoral teaching and ministry. And I was reminded of these things because I shared last week how when I was much younger and growing up in the things of God, I had a spiritual father. You know, just because, just like in the natural, if your father has passed on, he doesn't stop being your father.
Amen.
And the spiritual father, one of them that I had is, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he's still your spiritual father. Those things are still deposited in your spirit. And I began to look at some things, you know, again, prompted by the Spirit of God. I told you about the book, Plans and Purposes. He wrote that book, talking about Kenneth Hagin, in 1987. It's called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And in chapter 4, I encourage you, read it if you get a chance. But in chapter 4, it's called What is Your Purpose? And Brother Hagin had been in prayer and fasting. And as we get in the book of Acts, you're going to notice that the Holy Spirit seems to always move after the people have prayed and fasted. And you want to move further and deeper in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to pray and to fast. Now, you know, we went to the fast back in January. Many of us fasted for those 21 days, but that's not the only time you should do it throughout the year. And there are things that you can fast besides food. Now, I've had people tell me, well, you know, I'm this or diabetic or whatever, and I can't fast food. Well, you know, fast something else. Fast something that you like. What do you like? You know, fast gossiping. Fast, you know, your favorite TV program. There's things that you can fast, but keep in mind, you know, again, fasting it's not designed to move God. It's designed to make you more sensitive in the spirit. I believe there's a reward for praying and there's a reward for fasting. And I'll just tell you the reward I look for in fasting is the power of God. Now, if I covet anything, I covet that Holy Ghost power. Because I see, as you read the New Testament, the book of Acts, and we'll look at these things as the Holy Spirit leads us and permits us to do these things, to see that the book of Acts is a continuation. The Holy Spirit did not stop moving in Acts chapter 28 and go to the book of Romans, okay? And the book of Acts, listen to this, teaches us. We are New Testament. We are New Covenant believers. Amen? It teaches us how to move in the Holy Spirit. It teaches us the ways of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts does. And if you were here last week, I told you, look at the title. You'll see that title in the book of Acts. It says the book of Acts are the Acts of the Apostles. But really, it's the Acts of the New Testament believer, are the Acts in the church, are the ways of the Holy Spirit in the new church, or the early church. So it teaches you and I how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one thing that Brother Hagin brought out as I begin to refresh my thinking on these things is that as he would have these Holy Ghost services. And again, the Holy Ghost services are different than just a regular church service. You know, and I think I explained this, that you will have different types of services. They may be evangelistic, where, you know, we need to pinpoint and to win more loss and gear the messages towards salvation and evangelism. But how many of you are saved in here tonight? How many of you are believers? Okay, so that's why I say you have to be sensitive to the Spirit. You're not going to get a whole lot out of just a salvation message in here tonight. So that's why the Spirit of God wants to take you deeper into the things of God. Now, you can have a believer's service. The believer's service is designed for believers who are hungry for God. We all have our lives to live. We all have things to do, most of us. But our priority is learning the ways of God, learning about God. Nobody, no man, no human, no preacher or teacher knows 100% the ways of the Holy Spirit. If they did, they'd be God, right? So that's why I say, you know, what we have is a teaching in the book of Acts showing us how the Holy Spirit moved in the early church. But we understand that the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit, is still moving today. When we get a revelation that the early church was a church filled with the Holy Ghost and it was a church of power. So the church in the 21st century ought to have the same power as the first century. Well, actually, it ought to have more. There ought to be more power and even more of a move of the Spirit because there's more knowledge. Okay? And there ought to be more hunger, more thirst, especially as we see the days approaching. And I said that to say this, is that Brother Hagin spent several days fasting and praying. He would have these Holy Ghost meetings in Tulsa at the convention center, and many hours of prayer and fasting would go into those. And he was caught up in the Spirit. He writes about this in that fourth chapter of his book, how he began to, the Lord just kind of took him up, and he overlooked the times that he would be preaching in that Holy Ghost service. And the Lord began to reveal to him that there would be a new order of worship. And there had to be a new order of worship because there was coming a generation of people that are in church that have never witnessed or never been part of a Holy Ghost service. Now, for you and I, it's a little hard to understand that because we're in that atmosphere arena all the time where we want the Holy Spirit. We desire the Holy Spirit to move. Amen? And we're I don't want to say we're used to it, but we don't try to push it out or to eliminate it. We don't fight that. so that we will look good in the sight of some people or in the sight of religious people. Because, you know, I've had people point blank ask us, do y'all speak in tongues at church? Yes, sir, we sure do. Because everybody from the book of Acts on who were filled with the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues. Well, you know, that turns some people off. How many have ever found that out? If they find out that you speak in tongues, that you're some weirdo or you're some religious fanatic. But really, you are a New Testament believer. Because he said, these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Do you believe? Okay. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we're not trying to be a modern day church that has to use props and gimmicks and all kinds of other fillers so that people will come and be a part of our church. Now, we don't want people to be driven off, but the Holy Spirit is designed to attract. The Holy Spirit is only designed to repel the devil. So here's how I feel about it. I feel if you want more of God, you're going to be a seeker of God and a seeker of the Holy Spirit. Because you're in this as a lifer. Amen. Amen. You're in this thing, yeah. Somebody said you're going to live a whole lot longer on the other side than you live here in the earth. Amen. And somebody else said, if you don't run into the devil every once in a while, then you must be going the same way he is. So, saying all that, he began to show him, because he saw that there would be future generations of people that would be sitting in church but would not even know or understand how to move in the Holy Ghost. And it's in the Bible all the time. It's right there. It hadn't changed. We hadn't changed Bibles. How many know that? Okay. But what we have changed is agendas. And so we have to, and I'm not against people, you know, sometimes people, they want to use PowerPoint presentations, sometimes they want to use props, and they want them to focus on that, and that's fine, but if you'll focus on God and focus on the Holy Spirit and the preacher is anointed, now that's got to be a key, then the anointing, see, is what will attract and will cause your attention span to increase. Didn't I say this last week that the average now, the average American attention span is like 15 minutes? So if you're not anointed, then you're going to have to use props. You're going to have to use fillers, because people, they learn how to sleep in church with their eyes open. They learn how to tune out and phase out. So the Word is not running free course. See? And if the Word is not allowed to run free course, then you have what in essence is called grieving the Holy Spirit. I did tell you, turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. What were they doing? Let's read it. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. Now here's the key. Here's what I was teaching you last week. What is ministry to the Lord? Because evidently, when you minister to the Lord, now listen to this closely, as a church begins to minister to the Lord, we create the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. Now, when we say ministering to the Lord, it means that we are led by the Spirit in our worship service, in our song service, in our song selection. So it becomes very paramount. It becomes very important that everyone in the ministry that's used and utilized in the ministry. And I shared this in our pre-service prayer, that you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because we're only as strong as the weakest link. Amen. And so if we're going to minister to the Lord, then that means the song leader, that means the musicians, they have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't just say, well, now this is the four songs we practice on Tuesday night, and this is the four songs we're going to sing. Because you might get to song two, and the Holy Spirit says, just stay right there. I'm fixing to move. You see, everybody that's used in the service has to be sensitive to the Spirit so the Spirit can minister to everybody that's in the service. All right? Well, ministering to the Lord is when we yield. And you might want to write this down, because yielding to the Holy Spirit is when we follow the leading or the prompting, and this is the best definition I can give you, the prompting of the Spirit in us. One of the areas, and I brought this up on Monday night prayer, is that we need to pray for the gifts of the Spirit to move. Now again, we've probably got a generation of churchgoers. We've got probably got people in here that do not even know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. We're not constantly teaching on these things, but again, how are we going to be led by the Spirit? Just like how can a preacher be led by the Spirit if he don't know where to go? Amen. I mean, you've got to have a GPS system that knows how to navigate to what the Spirit of God is directing you or leading you. And so, if we're going to have a move of the Spirit, first of all, we've got to create an atmosphere. Amen. Say atmosphere. Atmosphere. The atmosphere is evidently, according to the Scripture there, is created as we minister to the Lord. Because as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said something. Now, isn't that what we want? You didn't come to hear me. You come to hear the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not physical. He doesn't have jaw bones and, you know, mouth and blah, 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 you know. He's not, but He has vessels. He has the vehicle that is yielded to Him in order to speak. The Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit said something. What did He say? He gave instruction. Well, we're here. Remember, I don't know, a few weeks ago I said, you're here in church for one of two reasons. Either to get saved or to get instructions. Amen. If you're saved, how many are saved again? Amen. Now, we know not everybody that comes to church is saved, but if you're saved, then you need instructions. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is the smartest person you know. And He's on the inside of you. He is the most important person of the Trinity now in your life, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
Okay. So let's make sure we understand that. And because the Holy Spirit is God, God knows everything. He knows exactly everything that you need for a victorious and a successful life.
Amen.
He knows the dangers. He knows the perils. What does the Bible say? It says in 1 Timothy 4, it says that in the last days there will be perilous times. You know what that word means? It means that there will be high, stressful times. I just saw the poll, you know, right? I shouldn't, but I'm getting ready. The news is on. And 68% of Americans polled feel the stress of the current situations. Y'all feel any stress? Okay. And so, here's where we get confused sometimes. We think we got to feel the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is not a feeling. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. Okay? It's not a feeling, but we will feel the Holy Ghost, just like if you stuck your fingers in the socket, you're going to feel electricity. But how many know electricity is not a feeling? See, same thing about the Holy Spirit. So you've got to allow yourself to get in position, first of all, to create the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move so He can speak, so He can give us instruction. We do that by going deeper. Now, I want to make sure I tell you this where you don't misunderstand. Because this is what Brother Hagin saw in the Spirit as Jesus appeared to him. And he got flack for that because, you know, well, nobody's seen God. Yeah, but a lot of people have seen Jesus, remember? So he said that the Lord told him, the Lord Jesus told him that clapping while the Spirit of God was moving was not praise or worship, but that it grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you weren't here last week, but I felt I need to reiterate this because he was not saying that we stop clapping in church. If there's times to clap, like with songs, remember, they're upbeat, fast, you know, we're going to clap, you're going to get into songs. Or if we introduce somebody or, you know, you give, you know, an ovation to. But the clapping in and of itself causes the Holy Spirit to be quenched. Amen. Because you begin to focus on who's saying it and you're more energized because you're excited that God is moving and you're quenching the Spirit of God are quenching your spirit from moving deeper into God. Because if you're, you know, you're doing this and this, this, you're not listening to the Spirit. Okay? So I want to make sure that you understand that because obviously if we can create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move, we can also, according to Ephesians chapter 4, you can write this down. Now you say, you're going all over the place, Pastor. I sure am, because I'm just being led by, it's not anything in my agenda there. But let me tell you something. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit of God from moving in your life. And you go back and read, and you know, I don't want to go back and take time to do that. Now, maybe we'll read that next week. But you can go back and see that if you get into these kind of actions where you're allowing yourself to be talking about things and people and gossip and, you know, calls it clamor speaking, evil speaking, so on and so forth. We'll read those maybe next week or 1 week, so that you understand that the primary way that you and I grieve the Holy Spirit is by our own mouth, by our own words, by our own actions. So the last thing you want to do to get into a Holy Ghost service is to grieve the Holy Spirit, because you are not going to sense that moving of God's Spirit, and the service is going to be boring to you. And you're not going to be in hot pursuit of God. Now, there's one other thing I want to read here, and then I will stop, because I'm not going to keep you and saturate you a lot as we teach these things, but just so you can get a bird's eye view. My heart in this, again, is to show you how to get yourself deeper in the Spirit of God. Amen. You do desire that, don't you? That's why I'm sharing these things with you on Wednesday night and not on Sunday. Just, you're in Acts. Let's look at one more thing here, and then we'll shut it down. Acts chapter 4. Are you here? Okay. I didn't get into some things that I wanted to share with you on this, but I will get around to it. But I just want you to know that where you're at, where even we're at, is just minor compared to where God wants to get us to. Okay? And there's something here I want you to see in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Now, this is where the apostles had been beaten for preaching Jesus. Can you imagine? They got whipped and beat and threatened. And in verse 23 it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions," or as the King James says, "their own company." Now, I want you to see that, okay? They went to their own company. Here's another thing it's important for you to know. That when you are a Spirit-filled believer, you need to make sure that you hang with your own company. Brother Hagin says it, I think it's in the fourth chapter again. He says, some people will just run with any old dog. And he was making a point that it's not that we cut ourselves off or cut our fellowship off with other members in the body of Christ. Because we all are members of the body of Christ. But when it talks about the same company, you need to be able to have those that you go to and you confide in, or you want agreement in prayer of those that have the same kind of walk, amen, the same kind of talk, and the same kind of attitude about the spirit of faith and the spirit of God. You don't want to go to someone and say, "Brother, I want you to agree for this thing. This is a major thing in my life." And you begin to explain and say, "Well, I don't know if that's God's will or not. I don't know if that we ought to pray." You don't want to get that kind of response from people. Okay? You got to hang around somebody that has like precious faith. If you can see it in the Word, and the Word of God does not rebuke it or say something contrary to that, then you want somebody that will say, "Yes, sir, let's agree in the name of Jesus." Has God told you that? If God told you that, it will come to pass, and I'll agree with you right now. You see the difference? That's what he's talking about, hanging around a company of those that will encourage you and not discourage you. Amen. The last thing is, we prayed for those that needed encouragement, see? The last thing you need to do is hang around people that try to get lower than you. "Well, you know, it's bad." "It's really bad. Oh, I tell you, I don't know what we're going to do." See, you're hanging around the water cooler, you're hanging around the wrong, and they may love God, but they don't operate and they don't act in faith. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. You need to hang around the company that walk and talk and act like you do about the things of God. And that's why I'm part. That's why I told you, Brother Hagin is a spiritual father. I have some others. But the Bible says you will have many teachers, but what? Few fathers, spiritual fathers. Okay. So, I caution you in that. And we'll read the rest of it. Because if you read down through there, and we'll get to it in time, you will find out they never prayed the problem. They just prayed, "God, grant us the boldness to speak your word in the midst of their threatenings." You see what I'm telling you? And so, it's the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. The same Holy Ghost. They were all in one accord. Now, this is important. The Bible says they were all there in unity, one accord. Now, you know, I just need to add this before I stop. We're not all ever going to be here in church at the same time. All of our church is not going to be here at the same time. But that's not what that's really saying. It's saying all that are here. How many are here tonight?
Amen.
It becomes important that those that are here be in unity. Because where there is unity, then there will be a flow or a move of the Spirit. That's why there's Holy Ghost services and there's services and different types, okay? Because if you grieve the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to sense. You're going to, what in the world's going on? Well, I encourage you, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Don't be a Christian that once had a touch from God and then leaked out. And there's no longer a hunger. There's no longer desire. Because think about it this way again. We're in this thing forever.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
We're in this thing forever. Now come on, stand up with me. I want to give the Spirit of God time to move here just before we close and shut down. I want you to do this. I want you to begin to pray. You know, I told the intercessors and those that pray, I want you to begin to pray. Not only the Spirit of God moves, but pray for the gifts of the Spirit. Why is that important, Pastor? It's important because the Holy Spirit wants to use you outside of the church. And if there's not a boldness, and if there's not a, you know, a willingness to step out and allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church, how will they ever manifest outside? Out there is some real need. Out there is some real hurt. See, the Lord could use you even tonight on the way out to the parking lot.
Amen.
To lead you to go to someone that needs a word.
Yes.
Use you as an instrument of maybe even laying hands on someone that is diagnosed with some kind of illness or sickness. I went back and looked at some of the prophecies, and one of those prophecies is that in this church there would be a mighty working of healings and answers to prayer. Yeah. And that another one was the forces of the enemy would not be able to prevail.
Amen.
That this church would rise above that which would be detrimental to destroy it. And it has. And the other one, and there's many, but I, you know, the book of Timothy tells us to keep these prophecies, you know, before our eyes about being a lighthouse. And I got thinking about the lighthouse again, a lighthouse. Now, I thought, years ago, I was thinking something totally different. But now, that word is going up 22,500 miles at the speed of light. Or just a little bit of delay if you ever watch a thing. So you know what? The lighthouse is being beamed.
Amen.
To the world.
Amen.
Now just think about these things. What God speaks and what God says will come to pass. If it don't, then God's a liar. We're preaching a false gospel about a false God. Either God's word is true or it's not. Either God will do what he says he will do, or we're all just faking it. Okay. Well, God's answered my prayers. God's done things. This is your best year, folks. Who would ever thunk way back last year when we started preaching about money cometh that we were entering into a recession and a downturn in the economy? Hey?
Amen.
Who would ever think to preach on moving into your wealthy place in the times that we live in? You think Pastor Moss thought of that? Come on. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Isn't he good?